Hello and welcome to Ed the Sock Lives. Ed the Sock here with you, along with my co-pilot, Anthony Howell. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, I noticed you dropped the guest. Is that indicative of, am I sticking around? Are you going to keep me or what?
Well, I was until that last little outburst.
Oh, okay, don't get too excited.
Now all of a sudden you're like one of those dogs in the Warner Brothers cartoons that's all excited.
So I'm like what? I'm jumping around and you're sort of frowning?
Is that what's happening? Something like that, yeah. Yeah, I had a puppy once, and she grew up into a nice big dog. And now when I get dogs, I don't get them as puppies, because puppies are a little too excitable. And now you were just acting like a puppy. Do I need to put a puppy pad under you? Are you able to control your continence?
Yeah, I think I should be okay. I'm in this big beanbag chair. It looks pretty absorbent either way. So I think.
Oh, you're in a big beanbag chair. What year are you in? 1973?
I mean, you should look around this basement. There's all kinds of analog instruments, like guitars and drum kits and stuff. So
Is the beanbag chair made of corduroy?
No, it's a modern material. I think it's sort of like a heathered navy.
What color is it?
It's heathered navy, as I just said.
Heathered navy?
Yeah,
I heard you
navy.
Say that, but I didn't know what the hell that meant.
It's like navy, but it's got sort of like a very subtle, like lined heathered effect to it.
What is a heathered effect?
It's not solid. There's a bit of like very subtle lines on it, I guess. I don't know. Look up heather gray on like a t-shirt website or whatever. You'll see.
Well, okay. Heather gray is a color, but heather is more of a tan thing, because heather is like wheat.
Oh, okay.
You know, like rolling in the heather, you know, that kind of thing.
Rolling in the heather.
That's right. There you go.
Two All terrible right. Scottish accents.
Awful. Just awful. All right. And I hate when I start podcasts hungry. I hate when it's just before the podcast. I'm like, I should eat something.
Oh, and I just had a beautiful big dinner. I could go through it for you if that would help.
No, no, I don't want to hear about it on the way in or the way out. But I'm hungry. So if I get a little bit rangy, it's because I'm hungry, but I'm filling that gap by drinking Babbling Brooks root beer.
Babbling Brooks.
Yeah, it's, you know how most boutique root beers are like, they taste like cough syrup. Are you a root beer drinker, Anthony?
Oh, absolutely. I love all variation of soda.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm not actually. No,
I can never tell if you're being smarmy or not.
Well, the only ones that I didn't like were the ones that I used to keep in my fridge for you. It was some sort of oddball black cherry thing. And I tried one once and I couldn't handle it. I was like, how on earth does he drink this?
Oh, that black cherry was heaven.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that's why there were always three of them in the back of the fridge.
Because they were heaven. I loved those things.
There's only one person on earth I knew who drank them, but it's you. But no, root beer, cream soda. I don't like grape. Or black cherry, like cream soda, root beer, whatever variation on whatever the artisanal Dr. Pepper is. I don't know if that's whatever.
But there's an artisanal Dr. Pepper. I don't like cream soda. I like the idea of cream soda. I don't like the taste of cream soda. But this root beer, they sent it to me because I was complaining about how most root beers that aren't the mass market root beers, and like the Barks and the...
Sure. I never liked Barks. Never.
Well, there's Barks and then there's what, A&W and there's another brand.
There's
I'm not
Dad's.
Thinking.
I don't know how
Dad's. Yeah, Dad's. Dad's is pretty good.
Dad's is pretty good, yeah.
But I complain that most of the ones they sell that are sort of like artisanal root beers or like are made, you know, small batch root beers
Cane
always
sugar.
Taste like cough syrup.
They don't really get the proportions right. They almost oversweeten it to make up for whatever else it might be lacking.
Well, it tastes like Dimetapp, and most of the time I can't stand it. So they sent me the root beer to try it out. It's from Nickelbrook Brewing, and I'm not being paid for this, by the way.
Okay.
This is not paid. This is a public service for those of us who like root beer and can't stand. Because you spend money. You see like these root beers and they look, ooh, exotic. They're expensive. They got fancy labels.
Artisanal.
In their dark brown bottle, glass bottles. And you think this is going to be the greatest taste experience ever. And you drink, it's like, ah, it's Buckley's mixture for crying out loud.
The peak enjoyment is seeing it, buying it, getting it home. But by the time you drink it, it's
Oh, the boom's off the rose. Yeah, but this time it's the Nickel Brook Brewing Babbling Brooks root beer. It's like root beer evolved. It's, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you a couple of bottles.
Please do.
Because it starts out tasting like root beer, like really good root beer. And then it does something. Like it, the flavor is like, you know how people talk about wine? That it has, it starts out with a certain notes and certain flavors, and and then it expands.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is like the thing with the root beer. It starts out tasting like good root beer, and then it does something.
Wow.
In fact, I'm going to have a sip right now. Here, hum a song while I take a sip. Okay, very good. You're good at elevator music.
Thank you.
All right. So this week saw the inauguration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Joe Biden.
And people are probably pretty sick of hearing about that already. It's
America's
funny.
Grandpa.
People couldn't wait for it to happen, for Trump to be gone. And then as soon as it happened, people talked about it so much, people didn't want to hear about it anymore. But
no, I'm over it.
I'm totally. Isn't it funny, though, how we couldn't wait for Trump to be out of office?
Now that
as soon as he's out of office, it's like, all right, whatever.
I'm really excited for politics to go back to something that's maybe like third tier interesting. I just don't want to see every headline be Biden, Biden, Biden.
You know, you sounded like there. You're too young to remember a TV series called Buck Rogers.
True.
But they had a robot named Tweaky. And before Tweaky spoke, he always went, butter, 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 butter.
Bitty, bitty, bitty,
bitty. Yeah, so it'd be Biden, Biden, Biden. Hello, Buck.
Are any of the cast members still alive of the original cast?
Oh, yeah. All but one of them.
Oh, no.
I think the little fella who was in Tweaky's suit, Felix Silla.
Nick-Nack, did he play? Or was that? That was from a James Bond movie.
No, I don't think Felix Silla was Nick-Nack. Felix Silla played Cousin It on the original Addams Family TV series.
That guy?
Yeah, that guy. He was all hair.
All hair.
Yeah, that guy. Right. I think he's passed away. Oh. And the guy who played Dr. Hewer, the older guy, he's passed away. But Buck Rogers and Wilma Deering, they're still alive. And that was pretty much the whole cast. Anyway, so it's interesting that people are like, they don't want to hear about it anymore. It's like, okay, we voted for Biden, so we don't have to hear about politics anymore. Like, people are just hung over. They've just had enough. Totally. Yeah. It's kind of like an adrenaline crash.
Well, he just seems like such a boring type bureaucrat. Like, he'll care about the Constitution. He'll do the job. He'll put the hours in. And maybe there'll be a couple things that'll ruffle people's feathers. But for the most part, you kind of want him to behave not unlike an old piece of furniture. It's just something that's in your periphery. You realize it's there, but you never really pay it too much attention. And you can go on to think about other things.
That's a very apt metaphor. You want to be a political scientist.
Well, I did 1 year of poli sci and then I switched my major because I couldn't stand the brown nosing.
You couldn't stand doing the brown nosing? Is that what you mean?
No, I didn't participate in it. It was the kind, like, in first year university, the thing that really rubbed me the wrong way in poli sci was the people who would put their hand up and then they would stand to ask their question.
Ugh. What?
Ugh.
Why would they stand to ask their question?
Well, because they wanted to be seen and they realized that they've decided to take a career in politics. And as far as I understood, politics was something that you did to boost an already successful career, not something to, because then it becomes corrupt by hyper individualism. Whereas if you are, say, a city councilor at the local level, chances are, back in the day anyway, you would have already had some other profession. You do your civic duty, you do the best you can, and then you move on. You don't do it for life because then you end up like a lot of what we see going on in the States.
Hey, there's people here who do it for years and years. I'm split on that.
Yeah.
Because I think some people say there should be term limits, but I think that's crazy because then every time there's an election, you're going to wind up with a whole bunch of rookie MPs. There's something to be said for institutional memory. For people who know how things are done and how to get things done and who know each other, and so that it can be a shorthand and you can get more progress made that way. There is something to be said for somebody who knows what the hell they're doing, as opposed to just putting in fresh faces who you're paying for them, at least their first term, to learn. It's like learning on the job I'd rather maybe, pay somebody who knows the job than someone to learn.
Maybe as far as the day in and day out bureaucracy, that's fine. As people gain more experience, they become more efficient at it. Although in Canada, it still seems to kind of grind along very slowly. But maybe as it applies to people who are figureheads, like the reason why we would have someone who would have a lot of power, like the prime minister, can only stick around for so long.
No, he can't. There's no term limit for prime ministers.
I knew that.
Oh, you were just testing me.
I only got the first year, poli-sci.
Yeah, I was going to say, were you paying any attention?
I switched to... No, not at all. It was first year. What do you do in first year university?
Drink.
Yes.
And by the way, you know the differences between a brown noser and a crap head?
No.
Depth perception.
I noticed you went soft on the crap head there.
Yeah, well, I got it.
I guess this is the radio.
Yeah, this has to be radio safe. So yeah. I can't say the actual word, even though everybody knows what the actual word was. And there's actual poetry to the real word, where it's crap head. Nobody calls anyone a crap head.
It's a little clunky, but there's a really good documentary, I guess sort of pseudo documentary on Netflix right now called The History of Swearing. And they talk about like basically just how we use swear words will depend, like in 50 years time or 100 years time, the S word, as it were, won't have the same punch that it does. That's why like crap isn't as bad. Type thing.
Oh, the words temporal. Words have become acceptable in my lifetime. Used to be you couldn't even say damn on television. Yeah. If somebody said damn, they would bleep it.
Yeah.
Because it was sacrilege. Right. It was heresy.
Yes.
And now people say it all the time. Yeah. I've seen TV change quite a bit as far as what's acceptable. And also the existence of first companies like HBO, you know, cable, and the existence now of streaming services where there aren't regulations that the FCC or CRTC govern, has pushed broadcasters to have to make certain words more acceptable than they were before because they want to seem like they're edgy because swear words make you edgy.
Yeah, I feel like it's gone. It's like HBO's taken it a little bit too far. I mean, in the interest of equal rights, but Game of Thrones, there was a lot of flaccid content, if you know what I'm saying.
Flaccid content?
Yeah, you know, sort of just kind of hanging loose, frontal flaccidity. If you
mean that there was softcore porn with men full frontal but not stimulated?
That would be an apt description, yes.
All right.
And I don't know. I mean,
why were you watching that? Because you weren't doing your poli-sci homework?
Who's not watching Game of Thrones? HBO, come on.
All right. By the way, I forgot to set the clock.
Okay. So, well, if we started at 8, we're about between 20 and 18 and 20 minutes in, if that's any help.
All right. Well, I think we're about 16 minutes in.
Let's call it that.
All right. The thing about the inauguration day, though, is I was very disappointed because it didn't live up. The finale of the Trump TV show really didn't live up to its billing. There was a picture of the front of the New York State Assembly building where it's all roped off and fenced off because they were afraid of there being another riot. And there was one guy standing there with a Trump flag. One guy. And they took
that.
A pic. You see that? The picture was taken from a distance. So he looked like the biggest loser on planet Earth. And they have him quoted as saying, gee, I thought there'd be a few thousand people here.
Yeah.
And he's standing at this distance all alone. Like when you show up with a flag and you see nobody there, you just keep walking.
Maybe
you don't stand there waiting for the few thousand people to show up. You just keep walking. Otherwise, if you stand there, people know you're a loser. If you keep walking, they don't have time to formulate a thought on you. But we were told there was going to be a whole insurrection. We were told there was going to be a sequel to what happened at the Capitol, and there was nothing. Trump just went away with his tail between his legs, and there was nothing. It was a very disappointing finale, very poor episode. I would rank it up there disappointing with, like, Game of Thrones or the Seinfeld.
Sopranos.
Sopranos.
I was thinking they could just call it the Grand Whimper, because you either go out with a bang, you go out with a whimper, and this was definitely a whimper.
A whimper with a capital wimp.
Yes.
Yeah, very disappointed in the finale of this season.
He just sort of shuffled off and got in the helicopter and flew away into the
Florida.
Yeah. And which they, do you think they're going to welcome him with open arms? Do you think he'll be...
Well, there was people lining the streets welcoming him. Florida's a weird place.
Yeah.
Actually, Florida's not a weird place. Florida's a place with weird people.
Yes. Well, I mean, it is kind of a weird place. I mean, as a like, it's a very strange peninsula. It kind of looks like flaccid content, if you know what I mean.
What is with you and flaccidity today?
I don't know.
Is there something going on in your life we should know about?
This episode is brought to you by Cialis.
Yeah, is there something, some Freudian slip happening here that's giving us a cue as to things that are happening with you?
Look, you know, I'm just trying to go on what you're saying. And you said there's nothing weird about Florida. It kind of looks like.
I didn't say anything about flaccidity.
I just try to reference back. So if you're still with us, hopefully, then you'd be like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, a callback to the earlier flaccidity comment.
It's a reference from the earlier one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just
if you're just joining us.
Yeah, if they're paying attention. Correct. All right. If they're just joining us.
It's called continuity. If you're just joining
us. Continuity. Just joining us.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we're discussing flaccidity. But Anthony is a budding musician. When he quit Poli Sci, he went into music. Didn't you go into study music?
No. Sorry, I didn't.
What did you do?
I'm self-taught. I don't know if you would call it a lateral move or a demotion, but I switched from Poli Sci to sociology. So I'm assuming fewer career opportunities, which is probably how I ended up here, but sociology. I majored in soci and minored in econ. Music has always been a passion of mine. I've taken some classes in it, but basically just for the mark, like intro and stuff, just to bump up my average. But no, I'm fully self-taught.
You know how you get the attention of somebody who has a sociology degree?
Mm.
You call an Uber.
<That's good. laughs>
So Anthony came up with, on his own, a little bit of a music sting, a little musical tribute to the show.
Little intro.
Yeah, and well, let's take a listen to it. Then I'm going to ask you some questions afterwards, okay?
Fine. All right,
here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Very nicely done.
Oh, thanks.
Did you have like an entire choir there?
No, that's just me doing 6-part harmonies. I just recorded each note separately.
So there wasn't a crowd there. It was just you?
That's all me, baby. Yeah.
I like the beginning part of it. It sounds like a religious experience.
Well, I wanted to try to make it sort of not unlike a little. It's sort of Queen-ish, sort of a little bit of Flash, but without any of the copyright infringement. So that's why I went with the big harms, as I call them.
Big harms. What is a harm?
The harmony. So it's like la la. Oh. You put it over top.
I wasn't sure if it was short for harmonica or what it was short for.
No.
You know what I noticed though a bit about the vocals?
Hmm.
They may have been a bit flaccid.
in musical terms, a little flat. But I don't think so. I pitch corrected.
Oh, I was just making a joke.
For continuity, right?
Yeah, well, because again, we're calling back. Because
the callback.
Because this program is brought to you by Flaccid. That's, you know, Sesame Street had like the sponsored by a certain letter or
letter
word.
A, yeah,
today our show is sponsored by Flaccid. Nothing attracts a male audience or even females more than discussing something that is flaccid.
It's pretty much universally appalled. Yeah.
All right. So you and I both had problems. People are getting a lot of orders now,
certainly.
Right? You're getting things online because we can't go out shopping. We can't go into the store. We got to get things online. And
you and I
have both had bad experiences recently. Today, I got a plumber in doing the plumbing in my kitchen. Mm. Had to replace the plumbing, but he was missing 2 parts. And he told me to order the parts from Home Depot and he'll come in and put them in.
I can't imagine that went well.
So I ordered 2 parts from Home Depot.
Yeah.
Okay. 2 plumbing parts.
Yeah. Like a pipe.
They're like fittings.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know anything about
that. Specificity is not important to the story. All right. They so I ordered it for the and they did the, you know, we did the curbside pickup.
Sure.
So I go, I pull in, I press the little button on my phone that tells them I'm there, and they tell me to wait.
How long did you have to wait? Because I had to wait.
I was there about 10 minutes waiting.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually.
And here's the thing. There was only one other car there. I went first thing in the morning. There was nobody else there. And so some kid comes out walking towards me like he's going to spit on me, like he's angry. Like he's,
how
he's,
dare you?
He's walking with his grudge like I disturbed his nap.
Oh, no.
So, and he practically tosses, I roll down the window, he practically tosses me the bag. And as he's walking away, I'm looking at the bag and I open it up and there's only one item in there. One of two. The bag says one of one, but I ordered two things. So I'm calling after the guy. Excuse me. And it's kind of hard not to hear my voice. Excuse me.
Right.
Guy.
Easily recognizable.
Just his job was to deliver the package. His job was not to come back and answer me. So he just kept going inside.
It's pretended like he didn't hear you.
I'm not even there.
Beeline straight back into the store.
Crap not given. He just kept going into the store. So they have a phone number in the parking spot. So I called the phone number and I sat there for 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then I speak to the person, tell them what's going on. Oh dear. Oh, that's terrible. Oh dear. Okay. We'll send somebody out with the package. You have any idea how long? Oh no, we don't know, but we'll send somebody out with the package. Person comes out.
Same guy?
They sent out a woman this time.
Okay.
And she comes out with, I had made a second order after the first one for some drywall patches, but they weren't essential because I didn't have a drywaller waiting in my house. I had a plumber waiting for me.
Okay.
So she gives me that. And I said, no, this isn't part of that order. The order is a second plumbing part. Well, you ordered this too. Yes, I ordered this too, but I ordered two things at the same time and paid for two things at the same time. So I want to get two things at the same time.
God forbid.
And she shakes her head, goes back inside. I don't know if she's checking or not checking. She comes back out and tells me, you didn't pay attention when you ordered, because that's always good. Your customers pissed off, offend them, insult them.
Explain to them what they did wrong.
What they did wrong.
Yeah.
She said, we have that one part in stock. The other part we have to ship to you.
I said,
what are you even talking about? How long is it going to take to get shipped? We don't know.
We don't know.
So I had to tell the plumber, you have to go. And I have to call you when the thing comes from Home Depot. And then they send me an email saying that it's been shipped. They said, here, track your shipment. And so I go track the shipment. And they have three dots, big dots, separated. Okay. One says order. The other says shipped. And the other says received. So between order and shipped, there's like a broken line that connects them.
Oh,
and
no.
Between shipped and received, there's half a broken line.
Okay.
What is this supposed to tell me about where, in fact, this product is? This tells me nothing. It tells me it's halfway to something. Is it halfway to my house? Halfway from where? Where is it coming from? Collingwood? Where is it coming from? I don't know where it's coming from. This information, track my order. This doesn't tell me anything about tracking my order. All it tells me is that it's halfway to somewhere. I don't even know what it means. This is a very inefficient means of doing business.
I think it's meant to represent the ether. It's lost in the ether until it lands on your door. And then they don't tell you, because what I'm finding is that we're getting deliveries, but I'm not getting a knock or a doorbell ring. So I have no idea how long our thing, whatever it might be, is sitting out there. And sometimes I've gotten deliveries that says it's delivered and I open the door and there's nothing there. So it's, how about the delivery person maybe just go or ring the doorbell to let us know that you've arrived. We're home. Both cars are in the driveway. What is the issue there? So it's, you know, it's frustrating. It's really, really annoying.
Well, but you also had another aggravation you were telling me about. Size disparities.
Yes. Size discrepancies when it comes to ordering things online.
So, is this about flaccid again?
I think we're going to move on that. On
okay.
That, if that's okay with you. It might come back again. We'll see. Stay with us.
Well, you're talking about size disparities.
Well, listen, what I'm going to say is, so if you've ever ordered anything, I think it's specifically Wayfair or one of these sort of, it's Wayfair. And what'll happen is you'll see an item, like we ordered a chess set and the picture made it look like it was okay, that looks pretty good. That's a good size. We could fit that on our table between two chairs, no problem. And it came, and it was almost like it was a model of a chess set. Like, it was so small. You couldn't
like a scale model?
Like a scale model of it. And this happens all the time, is that there's other furniture items we've ordered where it comes, and it's almost dollhouse sized. It's ridiculous. I don't understand why. And it doesn't really ever go in the other direction, except for me, the other day, I ordered some espresso cups, and I thought, espresso cups, okay, these are by nature small cups. And then they came, and they're like halfway between the size of a normal espresso cup and a normal coffee cup. So it's like, how much espresso do you put in? How do I feel about that? And it's just really, it's a really big first world problem now that I'm hearing myself saying this out loud.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking, what kind of effect person are you? Your chess set? And your espresso cups. I'm dealing with plumbing parts,
you're dealing with
chess sets and espresso cups. I mean, geez. All right, Howard Hughes. You know, my God, it's Elon Musk here that I'm talking to. I just want a plumbing fitting, for crying out loud. I don't need any pretentious glasses for espresso.
Well, I mean, you know, people order stuff when they're at home. And my wife's Italian. We enjoy espresso. We're learning how to play chess in the lockdown. These are things that you do, you know. So you just kind of have to.
You got to learn to play chess with somebody who knows how to play chess.
Well, my wife and I are learning at the exact same time. So I don't know. For the first like 3 days, I felt pretty good because she didn't get it as quickly. And I was like, oh, this doesn't seem so hard. And now I can't win. So.
All right, Garry Kasparov, we're going to go to a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, more discussion about things, because I can't tell you what we're going to talk about, because the beauty of this show is you find out what we're going to talk about at the same time that we find out what we're going to talk about.
We should rename the show Tangents.
Yes, or James Joyce's Ulysses, the radio version, something like that. I'm talking about a tangent. I just went on a big one. All right.
Deep.
You know what? At this point, you know what I want to do?
Tell me.
I want to hear your music thing again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so let's can we play that? There you go. I like it. The beginning, I realize, is a little bit like The Simpsons. It's got sort of that, but it's got that bit of a religious experience. Like, ooh, that kind of thing.
Well, I was trying to channel, remember that song by Pink Floyd that was all screaming from Dark Side of the Moon? It's just that lady going, ah, ah, ah. Remember that?
Remember every song by Yoko Ono that is only screaming?
Did you hear her response to, I don't know what happened. Apparently, it was something to do with, I think it was the audio of when Trump won the election. If we went back to 2016, she released a song, and it was just her screaming like bloody murder, and it was just horrible. Did you hear that?
That sounds like every Yoko Ono recording
ever. I don't know if it was new or not. She could have just pulled it from one of the records. But you know what I'm talking about. The Greatest Gig in the Sky, that song. From
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
So I was trying a little bit for the purposes of comedy to kind of embody that. Because if you listen, I put heavy reverb on it. But if you listen in the choral part, I guess you would call it. You can call it a chorus part or choral. Choral for my music people out there, choral. It's in the background and it's really loud and silly and stupid, and I had a lot of fun doing it. So,
know what I just did?
What?
I had a sip of Babbling Brooks root beer
because I was babbling incoherently.
Yeah, that's why I did it. That.
Yes,
it's so good.
How's your
Anthony? I'm gonna get. I like it. Room temperature.
Oh, you're like Giada. Like she. She'll let a tea or a coffee sit and then come back to it. I'm a fast drinker. Like if I have a hot beverage or a cold beverage or with something with ice in it, I want to get it in before the ice cubes melt. People who wait on their beverages to either you know, sort of even and even out to get to room temperature. I think there's got to be something going on there. I don't know if it's
I just like the taste of it better at room temperature.
Do you have like a tooth sensitivity that you want to talk about?
I don't even have teeth. I've got felt for my mouth.
Do you have a felt sensitivity that you want to talk about?
Yes, I have felt sensitivity.
How does that work?
No, I just happen to listen. The British like their beer at room temperature. They like the taste of it better at room temperature. I like my root beer at room temperature.
So do you just leave the bottles out? Like you just have them around?
Yeah, that's the science of it.
What's the procedure? Do you have it in the fridge and then take it out and leave it? Or do you just kind of...
Yeah, because that would make complete sense. I like them room temperature, so I put them first in the fridge and then take them out of the fridge and wait till they achieve room temperature, which they were at before I put them in the fridge. How did you discover my method?
Well, I don't know. It just seemed kind of strange that you would drink it at room temperature. So maybe you had like a way that maybe it's better once it's been chilled and then return to room temperature. I don't know. Who knows?
You're a very strange man sometimes.
Just thinking out loud here.
Yeah, I think you're enjoying this lockdown a little too much, by the way.
Well, it's something I don't know. I mean, because you know how when you're out in the world, when things are going fine and everybody's doing stuff, that you can... You kind of sometimes have to say yes to things that you don't want to do, like whether it's some kind of a social function or whatever. Like you don't get to kind of pick and choose all. Like it's sort of like, okay, well, I know this is important to this person or whatever. I'm going to go do that. And then you have the strained small talk that comes with social events that you might not necessarily be totally into.
Are you forgetting who you're talking to? Do I seem like somebody who bothers to make strained small talk?
I don't know.
Let's just say you're talking about people in general.
I think people. Well, okay, so it's a royal you, we, royal we, whatever. So just people in general. This happens, and it's just nice. I think I'm. I don't know if it says something about me that I might actually be enjoying this, or I might actually truly be antisocial. I don't know if the lockdown is actually helping me to evolve or to discover more so my true self, because it's like I have. Not been bored for a single moment. Like being able to write music or practice drums or hang out with my wife and I are actually getting along extremely well. So I will say that it's really nice to know that in times like these, we could be marooned on an island together and it wouldn't, which I guess essentially we are, if I want to put it poetically, but that's going well. But I'm not missing. I don't have any FOMO. There's no fear of missing out here. I know there's nothing going on really, but it's just so awesome being home and kind of hanging out with the dog and reading and taking in all of the wonderful content across the various streaming platforms and doing this podcast. And I don't know if things get back to normal. I don't know how much of the real world of the outdoors or whatever, or social life, I'm really going to feel I need to participate in after this.
Well, I think that what this pandemic has done has stripped away from us this false need to constantly be around people. I mean, yeah. For some people, it's heightened it. For some people, they realize they can't stand their own company. And there's some people I know who I understand why they can't stand their own company, because I can't stand their company. And I can't imagine how they could either. But I think we've learned that we can be content, not constantly go, 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 go. Take time to do things like reading, which is a lost art. You know, things like that. I mean, you're describing my life all the time. I don't go out to parties. There's all these, you know, every time there was a showbiz party, they'd send me an invitation. I wouldn't go.
Promptly throw it away.
Except for the one time that I would have gone to a party for my former colleague, Christopher Ward's book about the early days of Much Music. There was a launch party and they invited everybody from Much Music's history.
Oh,
not just VJs, but technical people, production people and stuff.
Crew.
The only person they didn't invite was me.
So the only party that you would actually wanted to go to, you weren't invited to.
That party I would have gone to, they didn't invite me. Yeah. And then they claimed it was just an oversight. Like, how the hell do you oversight me? How the hell am I not first thing? I was at Much Music for 14 years. I was there longer than any VJ. How can you think of Much Music and not think of me? How is this an oversight? How am I supposed to believe that this is not a slight? And if it's a slight, then just have the balls to tell me that, no, we didn't want you here. At least then I'll respect, I'll hate you, but then I'll respect you for telling the truth. But don't pee in my ear and tell me it's raining. You know what I mean?
Jeez, somebody get this guy a hot dog.
The hell is that from?
You sound kind of hangry.
Am I supposed to get me a Snickers bar? Isn't that what it's all about?
I think so. Yeah, a Snickers. You're not yourself when you're hungry. Or maybe you are. Are you more?
I told you before I was hungry.
I know. Well, maybe take a swig of root beer because it sounds like.
Hey, what a good idea.
Yeah, I'll give you some music. La, la, la,
la, la, la, I'm done swigging.
Okay.
All right, it's time for us to talk about show business stuff. There's a few TV shows that we want to talk about. There's one that both Anthony and I have seen. There's one he's seen and one I've seen. So we'll deal with that. The one that we've both seen, the newest from Marvel Studios on Disney Plus. It's called WandaVision. It features WandaVision. The adventures of Wanda Maximoff, who is otherwise known as the Scarlet Witch from the Avengers, yeah. And the Vision, who is the Synthezoid, which is their term for a robot, who was killed in the last Avengers movie. Spoiler alert.
Damn you, Thanos.
But this has them. It's a very odd.
It's weird.
It starts out. The first episode is them basically doing an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show, the old classic black and white Dick Van Dyke Show, in black and white.
In black and white.
And it's a pretty good parody and comment on 1950s sitcoms.
I had read that they had, or I'd learned or watched something somewhere, YouTube maybe, they used the period accurate cameras to do it.
Oh, there's no way they could have done that.
Really?
I heard.
Well, they at least used black and white film, like it was filmed. I don't think it's digital.
No, I think it's digital.
I don't know about that.
The kind of effects they need to do with it, it has to be a digital signal.
Well, but I saw behind the scenes footage, and like when the kitchen utensils and the bowl when she's cooking, that stuff's all like practical effect. It's all like hanging off of wires and all that kind of stuff.
There's no way they used the original cameras because the original cameras couldn't get pictures that quality.
Okay, well, maybe it's somewhere in between.
Anyway, I saw the first episode, and it ends. It gives you a hint that something else is going on. And I figure in the second episode, we're going to find out what that hint is. Okay,
Wait. You didn't watch the second episode? Both of them are up.
I watched the second episode.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm saying that after the first episode, I thought, okay, they've done this shtick with them as a domestic couple in the 1950s kind of nuclear family way. Now we're going to get into the real story. And the second episode just has them in a sitcom in the 60s and sort of making...
Still black and white.
Still black and white until the very end.
More
and
Bewitched.
Just, it's more like Bewitched instead of the Dick Van Dyke Show. And I'm waiting for the actual WandaVision show to begin. And apparently the third episode is yet another era of sitcoms. And I'm thinking, I don't know about you, Anthony. I feel like, why are you wasting my time, Marvel Studios? You're not respecting my time to give me three of these, like even to give me two of them. One was cute, but okay, we get the idea. Something weird is going on. You don't need to drag it out over these sitcom parodies. I feel like they're wasting my time. What about you?
I think that they're the only way that they could get away with that is just because it's Marvel. People are going to they have enough faith in what Marvel produces, what they make, to say, okay, we can kind of like string you along here with a little bit of hint here, a little bit of extra color there. And if it wasn't Marvel, I think a lot of people would have lost interest. But I think it's like fans of Marvel have faith in it and they wanted to do this experiment. And okay, yeah, cutesy pie, whatever. There's some impending doom kind of just under the surface. But how about we get to the point? I totally agree. Get to the point. It was good in the first episode, but I think the second episode should have gotten to the point. Like, I didn't think that the second episode was any more charming.
It didn't add anything.
It didn't add anything. It wasn't any more charming than the first one. It was kind of the same deal. And okay, like you made it, the intro changed and there were some references in the intro to, there's so much. Like when you watch, like, I don't know if you watch any of the channels like on YouTube, like Emergency Awesome or any of these people who kind of break down these episodes. And like, I'm learning so much about like stuff that is so completely arbitrary to me. That's like, oh, this pin that she's wearing is a reference to comic book number 304 from 30 years. It's like, wow. Wow, there's a lot of deep dive on
this. I picked out a lot of the Easter eggs.
Of Easter eggs, which one did you think was like... People always say, like, I always see Easter eggs being pointed out, but they're never analyzed for quality. Like, did you think that the... Like, say, for example, that little helicopter that obviously... I mean,
see, that's not an Easter egg. I think that's a hint.
Well, okay, so... But it may be an Easter egg because it was gold and red, like Iron Man's colors, right?
Well, also like the Vision's colors.
Yeah, that's also true. Yes, he's golden red.
I think that was, to me, more of a hint. There was things like the date on the calendar and the address of their house. Right. All of that had meaning. You know,
so there were deep ones for guys like you who could say, "Who, look, he's your comic guy, Ed." And you could say, "Okay, well, I remember."
They were even some of them were too deep for me.
Well, some of them were right in your face, though. I mean, you had that watch commercial.
The Strucker
watch commercial, which made me go back and watch. That was the Strucker was the guy from Age of Ultron, I believe.
I don't remember. I just know him more from the comics.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'm more of a movie guy. I never really got into the comics, but I have the movie. I don't know. Some people will probably judge me for that, but whatever. But Strucker was a character in Age of Ultron who was the one that, I guess, experimented on Wanda and her brother to give them their powers or whatever. So he was like that bad guy.
Oh, is that what they're? Oh, okay.
That's how they did it in the movies. But
there were a lot of Easter eggs, and it's fun for a while, and then it's like you said, can we get to the point, please? And they're going to do a third episode like this. You're completely abusing the trust that the audience gives you when you waste our time like that. Because we know we're learning nothing new. The little hints that you give us don't make up for the 25 minutes of parody.
Oh my God, there's a lobster on the front door. Teehee. It's like these jokes, I mean, okay, cutesy, but not funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's. I enjoyed the first one. The second one was amusing, but I'm annoyed already. I want to see what the hell's going on. So you're with me on that?
I'm with you on the sense of like, let's get to the greater plot, because it's clearly like, I don't know what it is yet. There's some stuff. Who's the beekeeper? Oh, buzz, buzz. Who cares? Like, let's figure it out. Let's get some answers, because that's what we want. We want answers. We want to know where it's going.
And speaking of wanting to know where it's going, I checked out the first episode of the new Batwoman series.
Okay.
Did you watch Batwoman last year at all?
No, I only recently knew it was a thing when I drove by the billboard. So
Batwoman was a very bad series last year.
Okay, because the only reference to Batwoman that I have is Batgirl from the original Burt Ward and Adam West. Yeah, series. That's the only Batgirl.
No, the Batwoman's history in comics is actually funny. The original Batwoman wore a yellow jumpsuit with red cape and gloves. And she had
like bat-like.
Very, very it strikes fear in the heart of evildoers.
More
and
like
she
Goldfinch.
Had, instead of a utility belt, she had a utility purse.
Oh,
so she'd go fighting wearing a purse around her arm. It was red.
Oh my God.
And she had a niece who was the original Batgirl before the Batgirl that everybody knows.
Okay.
And she wore like red and green. Anyway.
Is this back when Batman drove just like a regular car?
No, he had a Batmobile at this point, but they put him in the comics because there was a lot of social critics criticizing the fact that Batman, Robin, and Alfred were three males living in the same house. They thought that there was too much homosexual tendencies there or homoerotic messaging. And so they created Batwoman and Batgirl to give Batman
to
a beard, basically. they didn't catch on very well. And that Batwoman character in the 70s was actually killed. But when they recreated Batwoman, they recreated her as Bruce Wayne's cousin, Kate Kane, who's a lesbian and inexplicably Jewish.
De rigueur.
Yeah, it doesn't make, like, that didn't even make any sense. But they made a TV series starring an actress who is I think she's gender fluid. I don't think she's actually a lesbian, but she was flat and the writing was horrendous. Like, it was just awful. And
how do you mean? Like, her acting was flat?
Her acting was completely, it was flaccid.
Ah, flaccid. Hey.
Hey, there we go.
Come back.
But she wasn't given much to work with. The writing was terrible. The villain was one of those cackling kind of villains, and not in the good Cesar Romero as Joker way.
Like a Riddler henchman type thing?
No, it was annoying as hell. And the problem with all these shows on the CW, the superhero shows, is they don't know when to get rid of villains. They keep villains around way too long. Unlike, have you seen the Doom Patrol?
No.
You should watch. That's a very adult, hilarious superhero show.
Is that what's the one that has the superheroes in it that are all jerks?
The Boys.
The Boys, yeah. I kind of started watching that, but I really just I couldn't keep going with it. I didn't watch it because
I read the comic and it's got the kind of cynicism and violence I don't like.
Yeah,
no, you got
to
check out Doom Patrol. Both you and Giada will love it. It is smart funny. Anyway,
Doom Patrol. Where is it? Netflix or where is it?
Doom Patrol. I'm not sure where it is now. It started out on, they played it in Canada on, I think, Space or CTV Sci-Fi,
so
they call it now.
Crave probably then.
Maybe Crave has it. I don't know. Or you can probably find it online. Anyway, the thing that they do is they'll bring in a villain who in the comic lasted like six issue arc, and they'll have him there for one episode so that you never get tired and worn out of this same villain. Whereas on Batwoman, the same villain the whole season, and she was so annoying. Anyway,
so it's kind of like how Dexter did, where they every season would be a different big bad type thing.
I guess so.
You didn't watch? Okay.
No, I didn't watch Dexter. I'm not interested in sympathetic serial killers.
You don't like glorification of the bad guy.
No, I hate it.
Like Walter White or
something. I watched Breaking Bad and I hated it. It was well made. But I hated Walter White with a passion like a thousand suns.
So you're very much traditional, like the good guys should win no matter what.
I don't want to see stories about bad guys winning. There's enough of that in the real world. Anyway, so Batwoman, she quit. The actress who played Batwoman quit. And they replaced her this year with an actress who happens to be black and also a lesbian, because Batwoman is a lesbian. And it actually turned out it was actually the best episode of the series because this new woman can act. But it lost 80% of its audience from the last episode last year because it was so bad last year.
So they're trying to claw back. That's why I'm seeing a 50-foot billboard on the.
I don't think anyone's going to give it a chance. But it was actually better. The thing that drives me crazy about Batwoman is, okay, Batwoman's a lesbian, fine with me, but they've made every single woman in Gotham City a lesbian. Every woman she runs into is a lesbian. How is this possible? How is there procreation going on in Gotham City writ large if every woman is a lesbian? I understand lesbians can carry children and do, but they don't do it in 100% numbers. This is driving me crazy. It's one thing to be progressive and have a lesbian superhero, no problem, but every woman is a lesbian? That actually stretches my suspension of disbelief more than the fact that she dresses up like a bat.
That's like an entire, Gotham is now an entire, society of lesbians only.
It's lesbian. There are men there, but they must be very frustrated because all the good-looking women are all lesbians.
I guess the new villain is going to be called Blue Balls.
That would be interesting.
That would be pretty good.
Anyway, for those out there who tried Batwoman and thought it was terrible because it was, I would urge you to give it another try because this new actress in the role actually brings it to life. So, and the writing wasn't terrible in the first episode. So give it a try if you haven't seen it. Anthony, I know you wanted to talk about Bling Empire, but we only have so much time, so we'll get to that next week. I want to talk about this business about, I want to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina, if you don't mind taking a few minutes.
I've always got time for Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina.
There was a story this week out of the UK that said that a Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina-scented candle blew up in a woman's house, which alerted us to the fact that there is such a thing as a Gwyneth Paltrow vagina-scented candle. And it's not just like general vagina. It's called This Is What My Vagina Smells Like candle by Gwyneth Paltrow. This is not a joke. This is for real.
It's real.
And it poses so many questions. It boggles the mind. First of all, what was she thinking? Secondly, how did the people who came up with this scent, who created, how did they, where did they go to for the source reference? Did they have a pair of her panties? Was she in stirrups?
Well, like, what I read was that they were experimenting with candles with different scents. And she said she was, you know, going in the lab or wherever, the bordello, wherever they were. And she kind of commented to her candle scientist, I guess. You would have a candle scientist, somebody, some sort of chemical engineer, maybe. Has to be a
candleologist.
A candleologist. She said, oh, my God, this one smells just like my vagina.
Who and says I, that?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Who in their right mind, even if that's true, who says that? What is wrong with this woman? Who, you know, it's like if something was bad, that smells like a shit I just took. Like, who says these things? It smells like my vagina. First of all,
I guess you could say the kind of person who names their kid after a fruit.
Okay, first of all, why is she so intimately familiar with the smell of her vagina?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit unfair. I mean, I know you never, you know, after a jog or something, everyone swipes. So the old swipe and sniff or scratch and sniff or whatever. I mean,
well, she didn't say it smelled like her sweaty vagina. She said it smelled like her vagina. I'm assuming when it's fresh as a daisy.
I would hope that would be the
and no, not everybody swipes their private parts after sweating.
Scratch and sniff. Well, I mean, I'm sure everyone's at least done it once.
No, I've never done that.
Oh, come on.
No, that's like...
You're human. Well, like, sort of. Pseudo-human, I guess.
Who? Why do I want... I know the smell is not going to be pleasant. Why do I need to become familiar with it? See, you have no answer.
Well, sometimes it's kind of like... It's involuntary sometimes, I think. I think it's involuntary. I think you've been there. You'd be like, oh, why? You never done something where you're like, oh, why did I do that?
No.
Okay, well, I guess you're evolved, you want to call it.
Well, I'm certainly beyond scent testing myself. What, do you also go and pee in corners to let people know you're there?
This is my corner.
I mean,
God damn it.
She's very familiar with the smell of her vagina and willing to share that with people. I'm curious as to what kind of flavorings were put in the can. Well, first of all, what smell were they going for?
Well, I guess there is a product description online. I have the note here. If you want me to
read it,
recite it for you. Give me a second here. I just got to find it. Looking for. Okay, so I found it. This is an exact quote from the product description of the "This candle smells like my vagina" on Goop.com. Scent notes include geranium, citrusy bergamot, and cedar absolutes. This is where she starts to lose me. I don't know what cedar absolutes are, but apparently they're juxtaposed with damask rose and ambret seed. What the fuck is an
her
ambret
vagina,
seed?
Her vagina smells like a cedar closet.
She must be storing
furs. Does she store furs in her vagina? She'd be walking awfully funny.
Well, I know that she does have insertable vagina products, as far as I understand. So maybe.
What? I thought she sold supplements.
She has something called, I think it's called, let me look. I think it's called the egg or something. She has some.
Oh, is that, that's to strengthen the muscles.
It's there's strength in the muscles or I don't know. Maybe it has compartments. Who knows?
This is ridiculous. Like, I mean,
products.
Would you ever walk into like a place where they're dealing scents and say, "Hey, that smells like my ball sack"?
I don't think that. A buddy of mine was wondering why his candles weren't selling as well.
Yeah, but
I said $38.50 for a tea candle. Get out of here, bud. You're not going to sell that.
Yeah, I have a scent for her. Sweaty biker sack.
This candle smells like I just played tennis.
that's a good one.
This candle smells like an 8K.
An 8K?
It's a run. You run.
Oh, a run. Oh, okay.
Sorry, an 8K jog. I felt all right. Was bitier, but you know what I'm saying. Here we go. What is a vaginal egg? Goop settles lawsuit for Oh, what's this? Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop must stop making bogus claim about its $66 vaginal eggs because of a legal settlement. Here's the real science.
There's science behind vaginal eggs.
There is, yeah, there's a bit of a...
Why didn't she make a vaginal carrot? Seems like that might have been a little bit more apropos.
A little bit more conducive, or a vaginal, maybe not, her vaginal eggplants don't sell very well, unfortunately.
No, nor does her vaginal pineapples. they've got warehouses of them that just didn't, the product didn't move.
Yeah, the instructions were too confusing.
What are some of our other scents? Taint berry? Chocolate starfish?
I think there's one on there called queef berry.
Queef berry. Or yeah. Another candle. This smells like my asshole.
Straight up my arse.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a double entendre there.
Yeah, a bit.
There you go.
All right. Well, we've had our fun with Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina.
Yeah.
Rich, famous people are very, very strange.
Very, very strange. I mean, when you have that kind of money and your mind is probably in need of a little bit of professional guidance, sky's the limit, really, on how ridiculous things can get.
All right. Well, that's the end of our podcast. I thought that was, let's end it on a high note. Let's end it with class.
Yes.
We came in flaccid. And ended with her vagina.
Yes, with a steep angle.
With a steep angle. All right. Anthony, thank you for being here, as always.
As always.
And thank you all for listening. Find me on Twitter, at Ed the Sock. Instagram, @_the_sock.
Wait. I did do an homage to this story.
Oh, did you do a song?
I did a song for this.
Oh, well, let's hear it. Okay, before we go, here's Anthony's homage to Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina.
Came across this item at goop.com, and it was called "This Candle Smells Like My Vagina." Scent notes include geranium, citrusy bergamot, and cedar absolutes juxtaposed with damask rose and ambrette seed. Ew, ew, ew. Ew, 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 ew. Gwyneth Paltrow's out of her goddamn mind. Gwyneth Paltrow's out of her goddamn mind. Fucking weird.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
It's some a serious artistry there.
In and out. Because I always find that when people write comedy songs, they generally tend to drag on a little. So
that was a comedy song. I didn't pick that up. I thought that was an ode to her vagina.
Maybe a little bit of both. But I like to get in and out real quick when it comes to
Gwyneth's vagina.
Yeah.
Something tells me you would be in and out quick. Anyway, all right, Anthony. I want to thank you for being here as usual.
Thanks. Good to be here, always.
I want to thank the audience for listening. You can find me on Instagram at @Ed_the_sock. You can find me on Twitter, which is where I am most often, at Ed the Sock. And you can find me on Facebook. It's just an Ed the Sock page. Easy enough to find. Where can people find you, Anthony?
Here. I don't, I'm a big no social media guy, which I guess is kind of hypocritical. So I'm here.
So they can find you here.
That's it.
All right.
No,
don't worry about
no
it.
Facebook, no Twitter, none of that. Maybe I'll have to set something up. Maybe I'll set up an artist page or something if I keep bringing in, music, comedy, stuff like that. But, we'll see. This early days.
Don't worry about it, because nobody was really interested in contacting you anyway.
So that was just an empty gesture.
So you've not, don't worry about it. You haven't disappointed anybody.
So empty gesture on your part then.
No, I was prepared to give them the opportunity, but it's a good thing you don't have, because the only people that contact you would be crazy. And you don't need that in your life.
Plus, I'm becoming more and more antisocial, so just don't bother.
Ed the Sock Lives with me and Anthony Howell. All right. Hasta la vista, baby.